All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of This About That with my boy Tyler. Tyler, how are we doing?
Episode five.
Episode five. Let's go. We got a lot of good topics to cover today, and we're going to be bouncing around all over the place, but I kind of want to kick it off with the NBA and NHL predictions here. We're going to kind of go into how that's unfolded in the last few weeks and what we think. So, Tyler, NBA a little bit. What are you thinking, dude? What are you watching the games and keeping track of the series?
It's pretty surprising that I thought these conference finals, I didn't think a lot of the Pacers, but I thought that the Mavericks against the
Timberwolves.
Jesus, yeah. Why did I play so? Anyway.
Yeah, no worries. NBA predictions, you were talking about the Mavs versus the Timberwolves, and that series is kind of one-sided here with Dallas on top 3-0 right now. So what do you think is going to happen in that series? You think Dallas is just going to steamroll them, sweep them, or do you think Minnesota is going to make a little bit of a comeback, maybe a fight?
I think Minnesota will win the next game, and then I think that Dallas is going to end up going to the finals. I think Luka and Kyrie are just a little too much to handle. And, I love that that game-winning shot that Luka had over Gobert where he spun him in a circle. Looked like a ballerina out there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird that we have two really blowout NBA conference finals. The Celtics are destroying the Pacers too. And Tyrese Halliburton hasn't been healthy, granted, but still, that's going to be, I think your finals matchup is going to be Mavericks against the Celtics, and I'll have to see how it shakes out. But my money's on, if I had to pick one to win the finals, I'd go Mavericks for sure.
Yeah. I'm also in that same boat. I'm not a huge basketball guy like we've covered before, but just Dallas sports in general is kind of on fire. The Mavericks are, up 3-0 in the series. And I think they're just too dominant. They're just too much to handle for any team. You got the Celtics who are kind of looking for that championship that just hasn't been there.
The hard part about the Mavericks is that they're so deep. Like they have a good bench too. It's
nobody can stop that Luka kid. He is on he's on fire. He's in his white boy trash talk era. And it's funny. I think it brings excitement to the game seeing these guys trash talking. Dude, he brings it every single game. Absolutely. He's averaging, just looking at his stats, he's averaging 28.3 points a game, it looks like, over the 15 games he's played in this postseason. And he's lighting it up. Same with Kyrie Irving. I think he's found his groove, and he's averaging 22 points a game. And those two are just – kind of just bouncing off each other and making things happen. And I think that's going to be the difference in a lot of series is those star guys and those two are just there. They're clicking and they're playing really good basketball. And then on the other side, you got the Celtics up 3-0 and
I think the Pacers are going to win another game. I think that's over.
I think that's over too. I think it's a sweep, a sweep. I think the Celtics are going to come out on top, and I do agree with the Dallas. I think Minnesota is going to bring it back, maybe win one game, and then I think Dallas is going to take over. The Celtics are obviously looking for a championship, and they've been kind of, if I'm not mistaken, that team that's always been there, in the right place, right time, but just cannot get it done in the finals, just like my San Francisco 49ers. It always seem to be good, and then when we get to the Super Bowl, we just take a huge dump in our pants. So, I think it's going to be Dallas versus the Celtics, and I don't see anybody being able to match up with Dallas. I think it'll be a good series, but Dallas is looking too good, and I think they're going to be our NBA champions this season. Kind of going into the NHL a little bit, Dallas sports still kind of the main topic of conversation here. The Stars are looking good. I believe they are up 2-1 in the series against Edmonton, if I'm not mistaken.
They are up 1-1. They're playing at the time of recording. They're playing the game 3 right now.
That's right.
And it's kind of interesting, NHL playoffs has been really close. A lot of series have been going down to the wire, and you got the Rangers over the Panthers right now. That series is 2-1, and then you have the Dallas and the Oilers tied up. And I picked my Stanley Cup championship matchup. I chose for our bracket was I have Rangers beating the Stars, I kind of want to see the Oilers win the championship, though, just because, you know, McDavid and all that kind of stuff. But,
yeah,
no, I mean, it's just you're getting the – when people say, like, oh, you got to watch playoff hockey, like, this is what they're talking about. Like, this is the – been the best playoff hockeys I've seen in a while.
Playoff hockey is just the most – I think it's probably the most electric playoffs in sports. Mm-hmm. Some people will definitely argue. I mean, me being a big football fan, I am. I think the NHL just – it's just a different game. The speed, the physicality, the chirping, all of it just brings it all together. And I think the NHL playoffs is a must watch for even people that don't watch hockey. Just tune in. I promise you, you will not get bored. It's an all out slugfest, and it's so entertaining. And like you said, I said two to one right now. Series is tied with the Stars. That first game we actually ended up watching. The other night we were at a bar and we just had the phone set up and we were watching OT and awesome. it looked like it was going into double OT. They called back one of
McDavid's they called off that goal.
I'm not sure. Do you know what it was for? I originally thought goalie interference, but then I was like, I think it might have been offsides because we had another.
No, buddy with it was something weird.
Yeah, we couldn't figure it out. We couldn't figure it out for the life of us. And we were like, well, this guy we were with, he plays hockey too. And he was assuming a late offsides call, but I thought goalie interference. And they didn't really show what happened. And I was a little confused, but Edmonton ended up taking that game late into the first overtime period. And I was hoping that it was going to go into double overtime. I always like seeing them go into another overtime period. I think it makes the game way more enjoyable to watch than just sending them to a shootout period. Yeah. It's just that extra overtime, which is
adding to the game. I love the shootouts though, man.
Yeah, and the shootouts are cool.
Go back for a second. It was you were right. It was determined offsides.
Okay, so they must have called it late.
Called off.
Yeah, because they didn't call it right away, and then all of a sudden, a few minutes later, ESPN screwed us again.
I hate that. If the ref doesn't catch you offside, they should not be able to go back and overturn that goal. I think it is baloney.
That's the thing, and they didn't call it right away. If I'm, you know, for all the people who are going to be watching, if I'm wrong, I might be, but I remember them calling it way late, and ESPN being the main network to televise these games, they always go at the commercial at the wrong time. During when the guys are jawing at each other, a good goal, they won't even show the replay. I'm like, ESPN, what are you doing?
I just think that going back and calling offsides and getting rid of a goal is like if an NFL team got away with pass interference, a defense gets away with pass interference, three plays later, they get a pick six. Exactly. And then the refs go, well, hold on. Let's go back six plays. Oh, right there. Pass interference, and they just take away the pick six entirely. This doesn't make any sense. It's so dumb.
The only sport
I feel like that does that. I don't think there's any other ones that.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. And the NFL is like, oh, what are you going to do? Like, you're playing in Florida, and they're going to call our main headquarters in Seattle or wherever it is.
Could you imagine the World Series, and they're like, oh, like, safe. And like six batters go by.
He's like, wait a second.
Walk-off grand slam, and they're like, oh. Wait a minute. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was out earlier. We got it wrong. Game's over.
Yeah. it's ridiculous. But I think in that series, I think Dallas is going to take it away. I think in the bracket, I picked the Avalanche to go. I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to have to go back and check that. Yeah. Womp, womp, womp for me, you know, picking the Avalanche to go. I thought they were a good solid squad, and they just could not get it done.
Yeah.
But I think Dallas is going to end up taking that series. I think it's going to be a hard-fought series. Edmonton is no slouch, and they've been playing pretty well. And on the other side with the Florida series, I think, you know, New York has been one of those teams that have been pretty exciting to watch. And I know a lot of people I would love to see a series with the Rangers in it, just with their stadium and their whole history. And I think it would be awesome seeing a playoff game, even on TV, at the Rangers arena. But I think I still want Florida to win that series, and I want Florida to win it all. I think they're the one team that I think deserves it the most. They got snipped last year. And I think they're out for vengeance. Like we spoke before. So I think they're going to hopefully come out on that series, and we'll see what happens. But I see it being a Stars Florida.
And Florida deserves it, if nothing but for kicking out Boston 2 years in a row. I mean, they're just doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, it's the best feeling in the world when you see the Boston fans just waking up, eating nails for breakfast with no milk, just going to town, you know, just putting more pain in their mouth. And
yeah.
And I just love it. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Boston fans. They're not all bad, but they're just shit disturbers, man. They just love to talk. They love to think that their team is a lot better than they are. And, you know, we have seen that the Panthers, as I think we discussed in the last episode, are the kryptonite for that team. And Boston has just been getting snipped, and I love it. I just love it. Like I said, love seeing them, you know, in pain. Those Boston fans just chewing up those nails and no milk. You know, eating more.
We can be so happy for two of the three Dallas sports teams, right? You know, the Stars and the Mavericks. We're all like, oh, yeah, I hope they win it. They could do good. Yeah, you know. And everybody just wants nothing but pain brought upon the Dallas Cowboys. And
Don't get me started on that team. I cannot. I'm going to be honest with you here, Tyler. I despise the Cowboys more than I do the Raiders and the Seahawks combined. By far, I think they are the – it's gross. Like me and Sean were talking about the other night, they're just a brand for the NFL. They're just a brand for sports. They want to be America's team, but they can't make it past a wild card game. They got Geriatric Jones. I love giving him that nickname. That old fart has done nothing for that organization. He's horrible. He just likes to come in and – walk in with a suit, do absolutely nothing. Yep. I don't think they did anything in the draft. I think the boys covered that in the end zone. They did nothing in the draft. I don't think they did anything with the free agency. They've done nothing, and they just want to keep pushing this persona and this name and this we're America's team. But no, the America's team would not lose every single season.
Nope.
In the first round, in a no offense, a division that's like, okay, you got the Eagles and the Redskins who have been decent the last few seasons.
The Redskins haven't been nothing. I mean, like
they're okay last year. They weren't great.
They had a decent year a few years ago with Taylor Heineke, and that was kind of it. Like,
but it's like growing up, that division was crap. And it's like, okay, you got the Eagles. The Eagles are good. They're solid. The Giants and then the Redskins have had like a winning season every once in a while, just not being on top in their division. I mean, crap.
Like, they just can't get it together like last year, second overall pick. Like, I just don't understand with them. And it's like so weird. I don't know. And that's just such a – do you remember a couple years ago when the NFC East, it was like the Cowboys were like 6-10, the Eagles were like 7-10, the – Giants were like 7-10 and whatever and it was like, okay, like all these teams are awful, but one of them is going to make the playoffs. It was so
funny. Exactly. It was always one. And when I grew up, you know, when we grew up, I remember it being always the Giants, you know, with the Eli Manning era, and them always going to, you know, pretty right far there. And yeah, pretty far and winning Super Bowls. But yeah, I think the Dallas Cowboys are an embarrassment to the Dallas sports community in a whole. I think they're just so bad. And then they just give Dallas sports a bad name with the Mavericks and the Stars being so good this season. And it's an embarrassment in my opinion.
Yeah.
And like I said, I despise them. If
you're a Cowboys fan watching this and you're getting a little mad, we don't give a fuck about you. Keep moving.
Yeah. Yeah, keep on kick rocks, pal. But we don't, you know, I can't stand them, dude. I think they just, like I said, bring a horrible name to the Dallas sports community, and they're just one of those teams that just want to be the brand name, and they're just there for stuffing money in Geriatric Jones' pockets and doing absolutely nothing. But we will move on here.
We're going to jump into a little bit. One of my favorite players in the NFL, one of my favorite players, the reincarnation, even though he's not dead, of Howie Long, Max Crosby.
Max Crosby, dude.
$6 million raise over the next three seasons.
Yeah.
And he's earned every penny of it. He is 100%. Probably, and people will argue between TJ Watt and Myles Garrett. For my money and my opinion, I would say that Max Crosby is the best edge defender in the NFL. And I say edge defender, not pass rusher, anything like that, because he is an edge defender.
He does it both. He's the
best run stopper probably in the NFL.
And I, coming from a Niner fan, I totally agree. I love Max Crosby, dude, and I'm freaking stuttering here. Do it both, brain fart. But he does it all. He's good on the pass and good on the run. He just you watch him, and I'm saying this right now, he is one of those guys that can play on any defense, and he's going to be a starter no matter where he goes. I have always loved watching him. Eastern mm-hmm. Michigan guy, smaller school, and, you know, had a few personal problems kind of coming into the league. Not too many, but most when he was first starting out in college. And he is just one of those guys that is a product of just pain and putting that pain into football and only football and just coming out on top. He deserves yep. that raise over the next three seasons. And his
I think his motor is what gets him there. Like,
exactly.
He plays what, 98% of the snaps. Like, he does not get off the field.
He doesn't get off the field. Just looking at his stats over his career. I mean, you're looking at 205 solo tackles, assisted tackles, 116, 52 sacks, you know, and he is always in the backfield. He's always disturbing any offense that he plays. And like I said, he deserves that money. And coming from a Niner fan,
yeah,
man, I would love to have him.
The craziest thing I see is, like, you know, he usually comes off of if you were looking at it from the defensive perspective, we're looking at the left end, right? He's usually coming off the left edge. They could hand it off on a sweep to the right.
Mm-hmm.
He will make his way over there and make that tackle, like, across the field before and he can get him at the line of scrimmage. Like, he just moves so quickly, and he's just like – and I love his nickname, the Condor. Like, it's just so awesome.
He's not the biggest dude in the world. Like, he's probably, like, 255, 260. And Condor, just super long, super lengthy, extremely explosive off the ball. And like you said, he's one of those guys that's like, you have the play going the other way. He's chasing down the line. He's super good off the snap. When you're a defense end, you're coming off the ball, you're reading run first, and you'll see him come off the line and kind of stop and chop his feet, hand off the ball. He's already down the line making that play, or at least pushing it to the outside where the guys come up or come back inside.
For week one, when we play the Chargers, Joe Alt is about to get his welcome to the NFL moment. Max Crosby might have 6 sacks. And again, I'm going to reiterate, if you're a Chargers fan, we don't give a fuck about you. Keep it moving. Hate Chargers. Yes. I hate the Chargers.
Yes.
I hate them.
Moving on to another topic, but just to reiterate, he is unreal. And mm-hmm. I think he's, in my opinion, one of the best edge players in the game, and he brings it every time. And I hope the Raiders, you know, with the team looking pretty decent this season, I hope that they can make something out of it. He's just one of those guys that has just put his nose down no matter the situation, has gotten put through a lot with different head coaches and different situations. And he's always had a positive outlook and helping his teammates and also playing at just a high intensity level. And I love watching him, dude. Like I said, any team would be lucky to have him. I hope the Raiders will do something this season so they can keep him around. Cause you know, obviously players, you know, they want to win. They want to have success within the team. And I'm hoping that the Raiders can do something here, because you guys got something special at that position, and he is dominant, just an absolute legend in the making, already a semi-legend, dude. I think he's an amazing football player. But kind of moving on here, we got next topic we'll cover for a tiny bit, because I don't know too much. I don't know if Tyler does, but Ronald Acuna from the Atlanta Braves. For all you baseball fans out there, I know that he has been pretty injury prone since he's been in the league. I think every season he's had some sort of injury, whether it's a back injury, knee injury, ankle, something. And I saw a video surface of him in the outfield just missing a routine pop fly, mm-hmm. and people kind of went off on him in the comments. And you kind of look at that, you know, players make mistakes.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of dudes that are professional baseball players dropping a routine fly ball.
Been, especially, you know, it, a lot of baseball heads have been kind of noticing, like, man, he looks a little off. You know, he won the MVP last year, but mm-hmm. I kind of want to walk you through a little bit of his injury history.
Yeah, let's do
it. And just kind of check it out and see where we're, mm-hmm. what might have gone and what's kind of happened to him and where he's been successful and whatnot. So 2018 had a rookie season. He had a mild ACL sprain in his left knee. And then he came back and he won Rookie of the Year. Great season for him. Awesome stuff. 2019, no major injuries. He had a small back injury, came back, had a decent season. And then 2019, He had a small neck injury, nothing serious. Had a decent season going on after that, and he's been a pretty good player throughout his entire career.
No, 100%.
And then 2020 was COVID, so didn't really have a lot of playing time, kind of small sample size. And then 2021, tears his ACL on his right knee. So if you remember back in his rookie year, he had the left knee. So
yeah, so both knees.
You know, bummer, right? But comes back in 2023. Let's go back. 2022, he recovers from his injury. Didn't have a great year. Kind of was really limited. And he comes back for 2023. Great year. I think he had 41 home runs, 73 steals, MVP.
Yeah.
Top of the baseball world. This year, he starts to struggle a little bit. And then we have another torn ACL, this time in his left knee, ending his season. So
career season-ending injury. And, you know, he's one of those guys because Sean, one of our other buddies on the Settle Down Media and one of the head guys, you guys have seen him on the hockey podcast and other stuff. He has liked the Braves over the years, and I know a lot of the baseball guys. Ronald Cunha has always been that name that's been, you know, has been brought up. I'm not a huge baseball guy, but kind of just being around baseball fans, that name always been, he pops up.
The reason we're talking about this even at all is because he's such an impactful player and so good at, you know, what he does. If he was just some random second baseman, right, we wouldn't really be talking about it. But because he is who he is, he's in the spotlight a little bit, and everything he does is kind of put under the microscope and criticized. So, you know, it's a bummer that he's hurt, and I would like to see him come back and get back to form. You know, I think he's an awesome player. You know, I like the Braves a little bit just because of Matt Olson out there. He was my favorite A's player for a long time, and now he's over there. But, you know, hopefully we'll see him back soon. And he can right the ship, but you know, we're going to be waiting over until next year to see that. So
exactly,
hopefully we get the recovery.
Yeah, you know, hopeful for a speedy recovery for him, and he's obviously been an impactful player. You know, 2023.
What is the time frame for recovery from an injury like that, Cody?
Oh, an ACL injury, dude. Like at least a year. Like he probably won't be back until preseason of next year.
Yeah.
Maybe even like first week of regular season games, but. It depends on the severity of the injury. You know, some guys will slightly tear, some guys will full tear, some guys recover. You know, it just depends on your recovery program and like how you're going about getting your knee 100%. And for baseball and football players, it's a little bit different. You know, football players, you hear about the ACL injury quite a bit, and those are normally, you know, helmet straight to the knee, you know, your knee locking back on you, or they take a wrong step on the damn turf. You know, I don't agree with the turf in the NFL. I think they should bring back grass. It might be a slower game, but less injuries.
Especially at MetLife. I mean, everybody gets injured there. I don't understand.
Yeah, dude, I was looking at it was crazy. It's like Joe Burrow got injured, RG3. I mean, RG3.
That up real quick.
Hold on, yeah, please do. For anybody that has watched the NFL, big college football fans, everybody knows RG3, the phenom out of Baylor, was one of those guys that just was highly touted coming out of college. And he was so electric at Baylor. I'm an Oklahoma fan, and we played in the Big 12, and that guy would always torment our average defense who couldn't stop anything anyways. But yeah, like I said, RG3 was one of those main guys that just could not stay healthy. And he had he tore his ACL, three times? Okay. But he had his major tear, I think, at MetLife Stadium.
So here we go. Overall injury statistics since 2020. Mm-hmm. So that's before, that's after RG3 and all that.
Yeah.
MetLife Stadium has witnessed 6 ACL tears, 3 Achilles tears, an MCL tear, and a patellar tendon tear. That's only 4 years.
That is just beyond insane. It's like whoever is in charge of putting in the turf, or whoever designed that stadium and designed the turf and the field and everything, should be fired and looked at for
this one right here.
Maybe even catching some charges. Like that is ridiculous.
Do you remember Nick Bosa getting hurt there?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So in September of 2020, there was a 3 season-ending knee injuries on the same surface over just 2 games.
That's just crazy. Like I said, dude, it's like whoever's doing needs to be fired. It's just like you hear of guys injuring themselves all over the country, wherever they play. But it's like when you pinpoint one stadium and you're bringing up MetLife –
Yeah.
And all the people that have been injured on it. I mean, it's a lot of major players.
Yeah.
And, you know, going kind of back into, you know, the differences between injuries in the sports, it's like for NFL, it's you got to get your knee to be able to be your in baseball. Yes, it could be physical sliding into a guy, but for football, it's like you need your knee to move every single snap at the fastest you can be. You also need to be able to take hits, cut, and all that stuff. For baseball, it's like you need to be able to obviously chase down fly balls. You need to be able to ground any hits that are shortened into the outfield for Acuna's situation and running bases, sliding, you know, all that type of stuff, more agility side and the physicality of your leg matters more in the NFL as far as taking hits directly and just be able to take, and be able to take that punishment.
Yeah.
In MLB, it's more so, you know, you need your legs for everything besides obviously the physicality. Cause there's not much. I guess
that's why they got rid of the hip drop tackle, you know, but
I
mean, my uncle's had like a billion knee surgeries and his doctor told him he's not allowed within 30 mile radius of MetLife Stadium, which is if you can believe it, but
that's something that like doctors and people have to look into. It's just like you see all these people come through, especially in professional sports and all those sports doctors. I mean, like they're like, man, what's going on at MetLife?
Yeah, but people say the turf monster. They're talking about MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, that is the real turf monster, dude. That will take souls right there. I was blessed to never hurt my knee playing any sports. I got close a few times. But in college, we played on a lot of grass fields, so you get to mix it up a little bit. But in the NFL, it's pretty much strictly turf, except for Soldier Field, Chicago, and maybe another stadium that I think is still grass. But other than that, dude, like the turf really takes it all. But yeah, going back to Acuna, like I said, you know, impactful player, and he's starting to kind of. I think a lot of people are disappointed. They're like, oh man, this guy was MVP last year. Yada, yada, yada. Oh, this guy should be playing way better. He shouldn't be dropping a pop fly. But I'm like, what regular Joes don't realize, especially the people that don't dive into sports.
Because again, like I said, it's because he's under the microscope. Like, do people notice when Mark Canha drops a pat? Like, no, it's not frontline news that he dropped an easy catch in the outfield. Like, it's just it's baseball, you know, but because it's Acuna, it's going to get a little bit shine on it, but
I'll digress.
I know we got another topic.
We'll get on topic, but like, you know, just kind of closing this one out, people don't realize that if you keep injuring the same area, you're not going to come back like Superman. It's not how it works. It doesn't matter if you're Ronald Acuna or fucking Babe Ruth. It doesn't matter. When injuries start occurring, even if it's just minor injuries, those add up, those stack up. Things could just start breaking down on you, and you never know when it's going to be your last snap or last play. And Acuna, you know, like I said, hopefully he'll get into recovery here and we'll come back strong. But going into our next topic, we got a little NASCAR action for all you NASCAR fans. Is Ricky Stenhouse talking to NASCAR? Going real left. I woke up. Have you seen that?
Real left.
He's like, I woke up at 6 a.m. I don't know what time it is. I've been drinking. You know, he's just
real fast. Real left.
I just love that video. But Ricky Stenhouse gets into a fight with no other than Kyle Busch, a pretty big name in NASCAR. I can kind
of go through the background of what happened there.
Please go. Please do it. Yes. Yeah.
So this all happened at I'm blanking on the race now.
What is it?
Daytona?
Hold on. It was after the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro. Oh,
that's right. All-Star race.
Yeah, All-Star race in North and I think Wilkesboro is
right.
In
– so that reason I was thinking Daytona. So we've got to go a few years back here.
Apparently,
Kyle Busch, when he was confronted by Ricky Stenhouse, and I'll go backwards in a second here. I'm going to go forwards and go backwards. He said something about, you wrecked me at Daytona X amount of years ago. And Ricky didn't like that, but going back to what happened in the race. So they start the 200 laps. First two laps, Ricky Stenhouse tries to go three wide. So what that means is he's forcing Busch up. He's going in between the two cars, and he's trying to go this right through, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an aggressive move. And Busch did not like it because Busch got kind of pushed up into the wall. Mm-hmm. So when he rubbed the wall, that could wreck you. You know, we've seen racers.
I don't think
Bush was in any real danger, but you know, that's not a great move, especially two laps into a race that you don't like. You know, all the cars are still pretty tight together. You don't need to be doing something like that.
And those cars are going 200 miles an hour, and it's like I think he pinched his door on the wall coming around. And it's like, dude, if he spins out of control and that other car is coming through and doesn't see him, I mean, that could be a big injury.
If you know anything about Kyle Busch, he doesn't really take too kindly to that kind of bullshit. So even the announcer said he's going to get him back, and here it comes. And he just hit him on the back tire and spun him out of the wall and ended his race. And then, you know, Ricky's Dinehouse apparently – he wasn't able to leave because he was blocked in.
Yep.
So he waited for him and was like, what the hell was that? And then Bush was like, well, you wrecked me back way back when. That's why I was talking about that Daytona race. You wrecked me back there. And then some more jawing ensued. And then Steinhaus just gave him one. And then he kind of ran away a little bit, which I didn't think was
it's like I saw the video. He just like kind of rocks him and Bush kind of goes in defense mode and gets up, and that Steinhaus guy jumps back, and then security grabs him. And then all of a sudden Steinhaus's dad comes out of nowhere, starts getting in the pit crew's face, and the security's in there. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what this guy's name is, but he was a part of Kyle Busch's pit crew, like shoves the security guard off Kyle Busch and then shoves him off the stage. He's like, you get out of here. You know, all this stuff going after him. And then Ricky's like, oh, I'll see you in, I don't know where their next race is. He's like, but I'm coming for you. And he's like, well, we're both ass this year. We're both not having a good season. Bring it. You know, and that's just – I just love it. I think
And Bush said that he was going to take him out at – or Steinhaus said he was going to take him out at the next race.
Yeah.
And then he ended up not doing it. But Steinhaus ended up getting the tip with a $75,000
fine. $75,000 fine. And it's funny because people are like, oh, man, why wasn't Kyle Busch? Because Kyle Busch is kind of the arrogant prick, you'd say, in the NASCAR. a lot of people like that dude. I think he's funny. But
yeah, me too.
Steinhaus is like, you know, people are like, oh man, why is he only getting fined? I was like, well, he threw the first punch.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch was just sitting there, and then it was like on defense mode, and people are like, oh, well, he should have gotten fined too. I was like, no, he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So now I think he's going to try to push
for a comment. He was like, it doesn't matter if I agree. Like, I don't give out I don't make the fines.
Yeah, but, exactly.
I mean, I think they should turn NASCAR into hockey and just give him a pair of boxing gloves after the race and say, hey, who do you want?
Yeah, I just think like NASCAR is such an American classic. Yeah. Like you just see the people there and you're just like, this screams America. They're either drinking Busch Light or they're cranking down Mountain Dews at 7 a.m. getting ready to watch people go real left and real fast. And it's a great, like, I don't watch a whole lot of NASCAR, but it's just like, if it's summertime and you just click through it and you find it, you're like,
Dude, nothing's better than the last like 10 laps of NASCAR.
Yeah, it gets real intense. You start seeing guys closer than shit. And it's like the fighting afterwards is awesome. Like, I think
that's the fun of NASCAR. And I think, honestly, they should start doing like a NASCAR, like, I don't know what they would call it, like, but just
street,
like,
beefs or something.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, all right, dude, you guys are coming in and fighting. Like,
15 lap NASCAR races.
Mm-hmm.
Just get out there and get after it.
Yeah.
No pit stops, no nothing.
You just they're get changing in your their car tires.
And you drive and you go left and fast.
Real left and real fast. No pit stops, no, you know, changing your tires. Because what do they do it after? Like 15 laps, exactly. 20 laps or something like that?
You get out there.
You get out there and you give your goddamn all. And it's just like, I just love, I think NASCAR is so entertaining.
You got,
I think
15 it's laps to prove it.
Yeah, you got 15 laps to basically be American or, you know, your card's gone.
Let's show them who's Eagle Crash the loudest, son.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, I love seeing that stuff in racing too. Like every once in a while, you'll see some guy get into a fight after the race. And I just think it's great because a lot of these guys are split up afterwards. They don't see each other. And there's beef on the track, you know, guys bumping each other.
Go get their nails polished together after.
Exactly. I don't know. Have you ever seen Street Outlaws, the street racing show? It was a show I watched with my dad back then. And these guys would go out in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, and they would do quarter mile straight. Dude, some of the fastest cars in the fucking world at quarter mile straight. Most entertaining show I've ever seen. A lot of these guys were just roughneck, and they'd always be fighting. the main guy would be, oh, no, I didn't see the flashlight. I didn't go. Or, oh, you jumped and all this stuff. And they just start throwing hands over something like that. And it's not nearly as much money as those NASCAR guys are making. But that's what makes that type of sport fun. And when I watched The Outlaws, I was like, yes, I love the cars. But the drama that ensued with it, too, is just these guys getting into just – fist fights and just fighting, and then the wives are trying to pull them apart, and all of a sudden they start fighting. You're like, yeah, God, like I need some beer. Storage Wars
mixed with NASCAR.
Yeah, Storage Wars. He's like, yep, that got one. Him and the bald dude fucking got at it, dude. Or him and the.
Also, back to the fine. I wonder what NASCAR is going to do with that money. Like, what do you think they do with $75,000 they get? All Bushlight, I'd have to imagine.
Yeah, just yeah. Here, let's bring an extra 50,000 beers to this next race and sell them off. And I don't know, dude. Like, that's the thing. I was just like, screw the fines in that sport. Just let them. Like, you don't see this very often. You don't see guys fighting like that where it gets that media coverage. Because I saw that immediately when I opened my phone on Instagram, and even just scrolling through TikTok, I saw the fight come through, and I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna be great, because I love it. It's just like, this is racing, and then afterwards there might be a fight, and it's just great. And I think it brings a lot of just a lot more entertainment to the sport. Like I said, I don't watch a lot of racing, but when I watch Street Outlaws, you know, I kind of want the same thing to happen. And the other thing, these fighters getting into it, and other people will probably disagree. And
you know what? You could even put it into it like, okay, after tonight's race, like, you know, the two guys who are the most pissed off of each other step into the octagon. Like, imagine you start getting some guys who are like, you know, MMA fighters / NASCAR drivers, and then they just go duke it out after. Mm-hmm. You can make a lot more money that way.
Well, this is the one thing that I was thinking. I was just like, why would you guys fight in the pits? There's media everywhere. You're going to get fined. Why don't you just like, you guys, I know in the heat of battle, my things happened, but let's go down to the local dive bar and let's go behind it and start throwing
hands. I'll meet you behind your trailer in 30 minutes.
I'll meet you behind the Chevys that may or may not be open, but most locations are closed type of deal. It's just throwing it like.
Meet you behind the Chevys where they took down the sign, but you can still see where the letters were.
Yes. And he's like, dude, like, just do that so you don't get fined. But I like it because it's like, then we see it. And that brings me into NASCAR and racing a little bit. But yeah, I think it's just great. I think it's a great thing to add to the sport, and every once in a while seeing that coverage is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it worked. I mean, I just watched more NASCAR than I ever have in the last 5 years because of that.
Seriously, that's what makes some of these sports fun. The non-physical sports, quote unquote. So I think that's cool. And I think that should happen more, or they should make what you said a little bit of a fight night. Or go behind the local Chevys or Chili's at Applebee's, get after it, and then go share a beer and some unlimited boneless wings. You know, that's what's got to happen. But kind of going into our last topic, this will close it out because we're basically at the time range that we need to be. But for all you basketball fans, Bill Walton has passed away at 71, I believe it was today. He was battling cancer. I didn't know he was battling cancer. I don't think a lot of people did. I don't know if he made it public, but RIP to a legend in the sport of basketball. Yeah. I think a lot of people,
player, you know, MVP, sixth man of the year, he kind of named it. He did it. And so, hats off to a great career, and rest in peace for sure.
Yeah. Rest in peace. You know, like you said, huge career, NBA coaching. I think a lot of people can say that he is the best, one of the best college basketball players to ever live. That's at least what I was seeing. So definitely a legend, definitely a name that everybody knows. I don't watch a lot of basketball, but you know, I know who Bill Walton is. So, RIP, hell of a career in basketball and coaching, and may he rest in peace. So that is it for our topics. So kind of just going into next week for you guys, I believe we might have a guest on.
Might not. Either way, I think we're going to do just talk about some more sports usual. Maybe do something like get into some breaking news. By that time, all the playoffs will be done. We'll be waiting for the finals. So we'll do all that. Maybe do another tier list. I know some people liked that last week. Yeah. And then, you know, like, subscribe, follow on all the platforms.
Please do.
And if you don't, you know, we know where you live. So
yeah, we'll hunt you down.
Share. It's easier that way.
Yeah, it's easier. We won't be at your front step with a baseball bat, you know, baseball bat soprano style, ready to break your kneecaps.
Two socks and two bars of soap.
Yeah, just like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. It's the guest is either going to be, like Tyler said, his uncle, or I might be able to get my father on to talk some stuff. But yeah, we'll do some tier lists next week, probably on some sports topics. We'll get into that more next week. So like I said, thank you for tuning in, everybody, and have a wonderful week.